Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in. Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2 and 14 through 24. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up the ark, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for an oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error. And he died there beside the ark of God. And David was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzzah. And that place was called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David was not willing to take the ark of the Lord into the city of David. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom with all his household. And it was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, and behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Good morning and welcome to the first Wednesday of Eastertide. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from Laguna Beach, California. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 118, 2 Samuel 6, and Luke 24. And Luke seems to really enjoy this word, marvel, or thaumatzo, as the women, Mary, Joanna, and Mary, as they're leaving the tomb, they are marveling at what had happened. And earlier in Luke 7, Jesus marvels at the faith of the centurion, of Captain Marvel, I call him. And then before that, in Luke 4, when Jesus is reading from scripture in the synagogue, he reads from Isaiah, and the people marvel at how eloquent he speaks before they turn on him and try to push him off the cliff. And so thaumatzo can be amazed, it can be marveled, and it is a recurring thing in Luke. In other Gospels, John, I think, the signs and wonders that are given are so often rejected that when Luke points out that people are marveled by things like these signs, it seems to be a contrast almost to John, or to other ways in which people fail to see the miraculous nature of Jesus' ministry and power. So thaumatzo is very often a response to faith or some kind of miracle of faith, whether that's Jesus' reading from Isaiah, or the centurion calling him Lord, or the stone being rolled away and Jesus not being there. One of the things I look back on fondly in my kind of story and how I tried to be a non-combatant and everything was this phrase that came to me that I emblazoned on my Greek and Hebrew study Bible, which still, I don't use it as much. I use some online tools, but it's definitely shaped kind of where I am now. And as I was thinking about what I could put, engraved or something on this leather Bible, it kind of came to me, Lord, grant me wonder, may wisdom follow. And wonder can sometimes be translated from thaumatzo, but there's something magical, I don't know, in just being amazed, at amazement. And one of my favorite theologians, Abraham Heschel, he wrote a book of Yiddish poems while he's still in Germany. And in it, he tells God, you know, I asked for wonder and you gave it to me. I didn't know this when I, you know, had this line pop into my head to engrave on my Bible. But wonder and amazement and marveling are gifts, I think, of God. Too often we kind of fall into this scientific, you know, proof texting. And one of the first books I read was Evidence That Demands a Verdict by, I think, Lee Strobel. And it goes through like all these different things, like how to prove that Jesus was a historical figure and blah, 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 blah. And that's fine. I mean, I appreciate that. And as I said, it's one of the earliest books I read. But even more powerful than that, I think, is this sense of intrigue, this fascination. And I think it often has to come from God because we're so wrapped up in, you know, verifying and evidence and objectivity and blah, blah, blah. And so when Jesus marvels, when the people marvel, I find that, especially from Luke, who claims to be a doctor, I think that's significant, especially in Luke, because it means something has happened, something has broken through. When you're amazed, your expectations have been turned on their heads, right? You see signs and wonders and miracles, and instead of being like afraid or trying to justify them or explain them away, you just appreciate them. You don't have to have everything explained when you're amazed. You might want to, but that feeling of wonder, I think, as I said, is a gift of God, and it's powerful in its simplicity. There's this song that talks about standing in awe of God, and that's kind of what it is. And the English word that is sometimes used, which is fear, to fear God, it's not always the best translation, because to fear God is to stand in awe, to stand in wonder. And there might be a little fear wrapped up in it, but that's not the primary emotion that Scripture typically is hoping to conjure. I think marveling, thaumatzo, I can't remember what the Hebrew is, it's a much more powerful force, I think, than capital T truth. Because we have this idea that if we can explain it, then it must not be a God. And I think that's precisely the opposite of what faith is supposed to do. When the women realize what's happened, they're filled with wonder. When Jesus hears a uniformed soldier tell him that, all you have to do is say the word, Jesus is filled with wonder. When he preaches in his hometown, the people are filled with wonder. And I think that is an underrated experience. I think it's something that God gives us as a gift that is to be cherished and to be, appreciated in full measure. But so often we want to move past amazement to explain, or we're too proud, we're too grown up to stand in awe and wonder at the things that God has done and is doing and will continue to do for us as people.
A prayer for joy in God's creation from the Book of Common Prayer. O Heavenly Father, who has filled the world with beauty, open our eyes to behold your gracious hand in all your works, that, rejoicing in your whole creation, we may learn to serve you with gladness for the sake of him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for falling into First Formation, where PewPewHQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/pewpewhq. You can contribute as little as a dollar a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in the episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.